Hey guys, how are you?
Great.
Hey Phil.
And who's here?
Hey Phil.
Hey. Phil, are you here? Jim?
Yep.
Jason? Billy?
Yes.
Tony?
Yep.
Roy? All right, I'm not going to go through the whole roll call, but I would love for you guys to share, participate, either way. If you've got something really exciting and something really positive happened, or if you're just really frustrated and you don't even know what to ask, but you're just really frustrated, let me hear that too. You know, I continue on with this perhaps naive or perhaps valid attitude that I want every single one of you to succeed. Now, what does succeed mean? Make some money. And I guess if you get to 80K and you're happy there and you're making $1,000 a week or a little more, you know, good, if that's enough for you. But if you really have your sights set on being a 200K, I want you to get there. I know it's possible for everybody. I've evolved beyond the idea that some people are network marketers and some people aren't. I believe that we come to understand the product we sell, we come to understand the marketing system, and then really it's up to every single one of us. I don't think that it is just a gift that some people have or an attitude that some people have or a capacity that some people have. And this all comes to me just from my own experience with Thrive. I might not have felt this way before, but now I do. I feel like Thrive is a good conversation starter, but also the hook or the hooks are so strong that I find it really simple to close. I think if we weigh out which is harder, to get a customer or to get a promoter, there's probably no question to get a promoter. My experience with multi-level marketing companies in the past has been everyone's trying to sell me on being a promoter, a distributor, making money. That's how everyone came at me. You're in public awareness. You know so many people. You can make a fortune. And honestly, I've never come at anybody with that attitude here. So, yeah, if we waited out, which is harder, get a promoter or to get a customer, the answer would be promoter, but not because they don't want to make extra money, because there is a stigma. There is, in a sense, a fear. People don't want to be viewed as being annoying or pushy. And I've been very cognizant of that all the way through. So I'm continuing to learn. And as I work to inspire you, to give you advice, to give you support, and to move everybody forward, there may be times that I toe that line, and I've asked you guys in the very beginning, you know, let me know if I ever become, you know, too pushy. Because my intention is very, very pure. I believe in the product, I believe in your ability, and I want to see you succeed. I think that something that we do just because of our ego is we get involved in something new and we expect that we're going to get it down in a week. We expect that we're going to know everything. And in that, we fail to open up to the learning curve. And for me alone, there's been a huge learning curve. You know, when I look at just how I came out of the gate and how I promote the product now, there's been a tremendous, tremendous learning curve. I don't know that there are many global always and nevers, although there may be some. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Sometimes I have people really misunderstand me, and I work hard on being a good communicator. But more than a few times in my life, I've had people say to me, why would you be selling this, and not specific to Thrive, to any supplement I've ever made money with, why would you be selling this when you're anti-supplement? And my response is, it would be wrong of me to sell this if I were anti-supplement, but what a ridiculous thing for me to be anti-supplement. But for some reason, because over the years, people have heard me downplay so much of the marketing and so much of the misinformation, they just think Phil's against supplements, which is ridiculous. Now, it's actually turned out to be a strength, because although I may have appeared to be anti-many supplements because of the fraud and the misinformation, when I show up and I go, I'm behind this one, and I'm using this one, and I'm endorsing this one publicly, then people start to listen. But I do realize that people hear things as a yes or no, or they hear it globally. And if I speak negatively about the marketing of some supplements, they hear that as Phil said, don't get any supplements. I would never say that. The same thing happens with fruit. You know, when I talk about fruit related to weight loss, I'm very specific in the way that I address it. But people sometimes hear, not because I said it, because of the way they interpret it, Phil said, never eat fruit. Fruit is bad. I would never say that. Matter of fact, I had some nice kiwi and strawberry this morning with my breakfast. So I'm finding that that's happening a little bit here, and I want to clarify a few things. Let's start with the idea of sampling. I never said never give samples. I want you to understand this. I have given samples. I bought a Promoter 800 pack for that specific purpose, so I can give people samples, and I do at times give people samples. But I'm also going to tell you on the flip side of that, what I have said that may be misunderstood is when I give people samples, it is rarely a, yes, I've been using it 2 days, I love it, let's go ahead and place the order. Has it happened? Yes, but not commonly. Commonly, I call them the next day just as I say I would. I go, okay, here's what you're going to do. You wake up tomorrow morning, you take one capsule, drink half a shake. I'm going to call you midday just to see how you feel. And I call them the next day, and they go, oh, I didn't take it this morning because I forgot and woke up and had a cup of coffee. Or, yeah, I decided that I'm going to start Monday. Or I got up in the morning and I ate breakfast, and then I realized you said take it on an empty stomach. So already we're in this place where I'm now making them accountable. So that's one thing that happens with samples. Another thing that some of you have expressed to me is when you give people samples, they think they now have a job of being a critic. Like they think their job is to report to you. So they'll call and they'll go, okay, well, my energy might have been better, but I really didn't sleep any better, and I didn't have that much of a better workout. So they feel like they're being asked to criticize. Now, can that person become a customer? Yes. In my experience, my easiest sales and my best customers have been the ones that bought immediately. So I'm not saying don't give out samples. I think it's good to give out samples. But I would say always try to get them to make the investment first. So if we're having a conversation, before I even mention samples, I'll say something like, I'd love to see how you do with the product. Let's get some for you, okay? And if they go, okay, we don't have to go any further. So I think the only difference between me doing that and people not doing that is I have the belief that they're going to buy right now. Now, is it always true? No. Sometimes they go, oh, well, no, I'm not going to do it right now. And then we can discuss samples. So don't think I'm saying never give out samples. I'm just telling you what my experience has been. I would like you, though, even on the call today, to share your experience, because I can only give my own. So if anybody here is having great success sampling, you know, share that. I want to talk about that, because I don't want people to take what I say as if it's global. I'm only sharing my experience. There's another thing that I realize has been misunderstood. I would rather get a customer who buys product than a free customer account, and I think all of you guys would agree. So for some reason, some of you believe that I said, don't get a free customer account. I would never say that. I think it's a good idea to get a free customer account. In fact, about a month ago, I incentivized you guys. But I think, again, the mistake is getting the free customer account without trying to get a customer first. Because if you go right to samples and you go right to the free customer account, then you might miss the opportunity when they are most compelled to ask them to go ahead and invest in the product. And I think that once you start to do it the way I'm suggesting, you're going to be surprised how often people say, okay. I know for some of you, you have it in your head that $190 is a lot for a supplement. I have an advantage here. I have an advantage here because even before Thrive came into my awareness, I had people spending $250, $260 on supplements every month, and I wasn't making any money on it. So I don't have the belief that this is expensive. I have the belief that this is extreme value. So I wanted to clear some of that up so you don't misunderstand. If you are getting free customer accounts, here's why I think that's great, because you are building a database. So those who are not going to purchase right now, yeah, get them a free customer account, because now in a structured and organized way, you're putting all of your leads in one place. So yes, they'll get the emails from Lavelle, but they can also get emails from you. And as you get more and more free customers, the impact of every email you send out increases. So with all of that said, what experiences have you had? And again, I'm looking for either, hey, here's what I did, I said this and this, and somebody bought, or here's what I did, and a promoter came on board, or this is really starting to suck, nobody seems to want to buy it. I'm looking for any experience just so we can talk about it and share what's going on. Because this is not intended to be lecture, because I don't have the ability, honestly, I don't have the scope of practice in this type of marketing to have the confidence to lead you in one way. I can lead you, but it has to be two-way. I need a pulse. I need to understand. I need to know what you guys are experiencing. So who has something, anything that you want to share, even if you do it reluctantly?
Hey, Phil, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
With what you just said, I had an experience, it must have been Wednesday morning.
Okay.
I met with a couple, husband, wife, that were clients of mine in the past. And I met them over at the YMCA, take them through, you know, since I don't have a facility, just they were starting back. And anyway, not
these were former clients of yours?
Former clients, yes.
Okay, good, good.
And I wanted to get back in touch. It was prompted by the wife, who said the husband is, you know, declining dramatically. They're 69, 70 years old. And
okay.
She was concerned. So anyway,
okay.
Got to talking, and we got on to nutrition. And I brought up that I would love for the both of them to try a new product that's come across my way. She was all on board. She was ready to go 100%. So I was setting up the account at their house. And then he piped up, and he's a physician. And I want to see the product. I want to see the info. I want to see all this. I want to,
okay,
you know, that sort of stuff. So it kind of put me in a position where, you know, she's on board, he's not, and that's how it's kind of been the whole time through. But what, long story short, they didn't buy the product that day. They have a free customer account set up now because
okay.
I was in the process of getting the product to him. And
right.
So he was very reluctant, and he has always been that way. He's always been the one to not want to do his nutrition. He wants to do it on his term when he's ready and all that. So I was going to just prompt the wife, let me get it for you, which I didn't say that. That's what I should have said in hindsight. And then, you know, go forward. So what would – I don't know what I should have done right or wrong at that point. But, you know, neither here nor there, I walked away without either of them buying the product.
Okay. Do you have an appointment to see them again as clients?
I could at any given time, yes.
And when did this happen? Wednesday, and you haven't spoken to them since?
I had a text message back and forth from the wife. She said, I'm so sorry. You know, Ron, you know how he is, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he is that mentality of research, being the physician that he is, and so forth and such. So.
Okay. Let me give you a few little pointers, and then I'll make a suggestion.
Sure.
I'm going to start by saying one of the things that I personally have a hard time dealing with, things that are not rational. And the one that I've run into that I just wash my hands of, I can't even attempt to deal with it, eating disorders. Because you're, like, when I'm working with somebody who is emaciated and thinking they're fat, it makes me crazy. I don't know where to go with that. There's a pathology that I don't know how to treat. So when it becomes irrational, I'm just telling you from my perspective, I walk away. Now, I do have a relationship with somebody who's expert in that, and I usually refer them. But I'm sharing that because there's kind of a spectrum between what is rational and what just annoys the shit out of you, right? So sometimes they are not being irrational, but it's annoying the shit out of you. So I don't think that what you're describing is irrational. I think what he's doing is saying, let me be careful. And as you're saying, it's his nature. Now, you're annoyed by that, as probably all of us would be, because we know how sound and good the product is, and we want to get it to him. So I think what you do in a case like that is you go against what appears to be your instinctual reaction internally, and you praise them. And what this does immediately is knocks their guard down.
Got it.
So there's a term that I've used with you guys before, and it comes out of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, interrupt somebody's pattern. Because your brain is so used to things going in the same way that when something shows up that doesn't fit, you get momentarily stunned, which makes you, in a sense, vulnerable to suggestion. So if you get it all on the defensive and you say anything like, oh, no, it's a great product and I did all the research, then, which is what he's expecting, now you've created or reinforced a conflict, not a major one, but it's one where he's not going to buy. But if you go, I applaud you for that, I wish more people would really look carefully into the things they take and put in their mouths, not just supplements, but food. You know, almost like you want to just effuse upon him how impressed you are by his greater wisdom.
Right.
And now you have several scenarios. So all you've really done by doing that is disarm him a bit, right? You've kind of taken away his immediate resistance. So if you think of him as if just a question mark showed up over his head, like he doesn't know where to go, you just praised him, right? But now there are two possible scenarios, and that's what you have to think of is what is the outcome I want. So scenario number one, nobody buys the product today. Scenario number two, they both buy the product today. Scenario number three, she buys the product today and he doesn't. So of those three, right, it doesn't sound like they're both going to buy the product today. So I would go for the one where she buys the product. So now what I would do is unify and separate them at the same time. Meaning, you guys are awesome. I love how concerned you are for his health. And I also really respect his reluctance and his wanting to be careful. So, and now I'm turning to the wife. I'm going, so we're not going to order the product for him today, but would you like me to go ahead and place your order? In the meantime, I will get him all the information he needs. So what might happen is she goes, yes, you know, and that would be good. So I don't think there's a right and wrong. I'm not giving this to you out of a playbook. It's just this is the way I've learned in cases of influence. I've called in the past a chess game where they make a move and you have to think what is the best move. So it's not you did anything wrong. It's just that's the way I probably would have played it, hoping she says, yes, get me the product.
Got it.
Either way, you certainly want to follow up with him. So what I would do is I would contact her and set another appointment and keep in mind what I just said, that you have for this next appointment, there are three scenarios. Neither of them buy, both of them buy, or just she buys. So you bring with you a sample, maybe one. Maybe you have some in your pocket or your car and they don't know you have more. And you say, let me go through some of the ingredients with you and I'm going to leave this for you if you want to research it. In the meanwhile, order her the product. So I think that's how you can salvage this, is the same thing. You praise him, you compliment him, and then you go ahead and get her the product that she wants. And if he steps up and goes, no, nobody's getting the product until I do my homework, okay, then I would do that. I would sit with him for a little while. I would go through it. And then I would say, here is the bottom line. With all the research in the world, you're never going to know until you try it. So would you like to give it a try? And if he says no, then he's just being difficult and stubborn, and some people are, and now he's become irrational, and that's when they start to annoy me. So, but there's a process, and I think if you recognize your opportunities, you can salvage this. thoughts?
Okay. No, I like that. You know what? It kind of stuck me, and I kind of was like, okay. Well, I'm not going to sit here and debate with you because that would have been the worst thing to do. And so we just left it. So I like your suggestion. So that's what I'll try. I'll get
Excellent.
A hold of him this weekend and try that. Yes.
Good. And Jeff, let me ask you this. Overall, how would you say things are going with this business of yours?
Much better than I had anticipated. Unfortunately, you know my situation, so I'm kind of stuck having to do other jobs right now to keep my head afloat otherwise that had already been in the make, meaning I do corporate wellness gyms and home gyms for people, so I've already had gyms being ready to be built and done, and now all the products coming, now I have to do all the work right now. So it's kind of put me in a position where I've got so much stuff I have to do here in the next couple of weeks with these gyms to get them done.
Right.
But it's hard for me to go focus on really what I want to be focused on, such as Thrive. So that's where I'm kind of cut. You know, I was really, I picked up a lot of steam those last couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, here comes all the product. I've got all these stuff being shipped to me that have to get to these gyms that I'm building, and I deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers and stuff like that, so I've got a big thing I got to do up there with Kaiser, and so it's just, it's got to be done. It's got to get done, you know, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's got to get done. I can't wait to see all the Cavs wearing patches on their arms, but until then.
Well, yeah, Derek Miller, I mean, who's the trainer, that's who I deal with, you know, all the time, and it's kind of funny. I didn't think about doing that yet, but when I'm up there, I'm going to put some patches on and see what he says, for sure.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
But
make sure
here's
you put one on LeBron. Oh, he's not there anymore. Sorry.
He's just up the road from me. Well, he's real close. He's a lot closer to Jason than I am. He's right down the street from Jason. But, yeah, he still has a big presence up there still, though.
Jeff, how many promoters do you have now that you see true potential in?
Just probably two that I see true potential in. And like I told Jimmy the other day, there's two more that I really want to get them both together on a call with me because they're I want to get them as customers first. Really have
Do they know each other?
Started.
Do they know each other?
They do not know each other. No, not that I know of that they know each other. One's from Columbus and one's from here in Canton. But, yeah, so there's a few people I really think could do well in this. And, again, I want to be able to take the time to nurture them. And right now I just don't have the time to make sure that I'm on top of hitting that VIP 800 and, you know, I know how important that is. I really do, and I told Jimmy that. Had you guys not prompted me to do that, I don't think I'd be where I am right now, honestly.
Right.
Ready to turn 4K. And honestly, I can say that with 100% because getting that first check of $500+ and then hitting that iPad mini bonus and then, come on, I don't care who you are, that stimulates you wanting to keep doing this.
Yeah, it makes it real. It's like suddenly you have money, and it happened pretty quickly, and you start to see the potential. So I think that it is vitally important to get a promoter to their VIP. Now, does it happen in every case? No. And does that mean end game because they didn't hit the VIP? No. It's a whole different perspective at that point. But I think you have such an advantage when you get your promoters to hit their VIP. So, Jeff, you just said something that is reflective of your mindset, and it's something that you can change immediately.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what it is, but I am entering my PIN in the gas station, so let me do that first. Okay. You said, I would love to get some new promoters and really devote some time to them. I just don't have the time right now. So what you just gave yourself is an impossible scenario or an absolute limitation. And the only
right.
reason it's an absolute limitation is because you made it one. So a simple change in thought is, I would love to have the freedom I want And the best way for me to do it right now, even though my time is limited, is to invest that limited time in developing two promoters. And it
right.
doesn't have to be that much time. I mean, if I tell you that it could be a six-minute phone call every day, that's not that much time.
That's true.
So that is your ticket to freedom right now. You know, granted, you have right now what we would call a service deficit, right? You made sales, and with the sales came this service that you had to do, an install or taking care of the equipment or setting things up. So now you have this service deficit where the job is complete in terms of the sale of it, but now you have all this work to do. That kind of sucks. Unless you frame it going, hey, thank God I had this business. Thank God I was able to do these things. Now you want to be in a position when you're finished with this service deficit to never have to be there again. So if you use this time efficiently to develop two new promoters and focus on nothing other than having them hit their VIP, your entire life can change. That's what's going to lift you from 4K to 12K. So, you know, don't look at your day and go, oh, I don't have enough time to promote Thrive. I don't have enough time to get new customers. Just ask the question, how can I now optimize my time so I can bring in these two promoters and hit their VIP? And that should be your entirety of your focus with Thrive, at least for the time being. Does that work for you?
No, that does. And that is. It's purely mindset with me because it is. I mean, I've got drive time. I got an hour that I drive up to the cab's facility to do this and back, both in the car.
Right.
Hey, I could be making phone calls. You're right.
Good. So that's it. Just two strong promoters and get them to hit their VIP. And when you just look at it that way, you're going to go, I could do that. That's pretty simple. From there, you get a new sense of freedom. I'm telling you, because when they start to not only hit their VIP, but when their promoters hit their VIP, your number goes up to 40K. So that's
right.
How it's going to grow. If you think of yourself as the workhorse, then you're going to stay in the state for a while where you feel like so much to do, not enough time. But if you say, hey, the beauty of this business is I'm already at a point that I have income. I'm already at a point that I know how to coach people, at least at a baseline level, then optimize it and just get two promoters. And honestly, it can be that simple. That's not an exaggeration by any means.
Got it.
Are you being arrested right now? I hear a siren.
No, that's
mine.
All right, because that would change things quite a bit. If you were arrested, I'd have to start from scratch.
That'd be a problem.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you sharing that. Anyone else?
Thank
anything
you.
To share?
I think I have a scenario. I might need you to talk with her because I promised her an appointment with you.
Okay.
But I have someone, and I had this discussion with Jenny, and I honestly can't remember what she was telling me to do with this person. But she has severe celiac, and for nothing, I can't get her to do the shake. But
what does she
loves,
have?
She has celiacs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But she will not do the shake for anything. Like, I showed her the ingredients, and she's like, nope, nope, can't do it, nope, nope. And I said,
okay.
Well, I have someone who is successfully taking this, and she has celiacs, too, because I already had this discussion with Jenny a really long time ago. So now she's at the point where she's loving the product because she takes the patch and the pills religiously, and she's
okay.
loving it and loving it. And then she's like, well, I'm still having – you know, a little gurgle in my stomach. You know, is there something that we can do about that? On the flip side of it, she still sees a homeopathic doctor, and I don't think she really wants to continue seeing the doctor because she's like, I've gotten all those results with you, and this other woman's trying to tell me to take all these supplements and stuff, and she doesn't really want to continue on that path of having to take other kinds of supplements because this is working so well for her. So now I'm trying to explain to her if we could start her like really, really slowly and we can do like a teaspoon and a whatever the dosage is that we can make work for her.
All right. It's a slippery slope, but are we talking about just getting her to the point that she's comfortable with the product or are we talking about making her a promoter?
No, I would love to eventually make her a promoter because she is a believer in the product. But right now, okay. She is so freaked out about her digestive system because this isn't the only time that she has – we've been through, like, she's had problems with carbohydrates. Like, it took me a really long time to educate her on carbohydrates. And I was like, I just need you to try a little bit. Like, we've been taking it really, really slowly. But she had this fear. I think for you, maybe the way – it's like an eating disorder – so I don't know how far to creep into it, but she's gotten results and she's really happy with it, but she's still weird about, you know, any sort. She's very hyper aware, I'll just put it that way. So every little thing, she wants every little thing explained to her, so I don't want to make it like we're explaining every little thing to her, when really all she does is just have to trial and error and just try like a teaspoon of it, like teaspoon of it every other day and just take it really slowly and see how it works with her. That's what I've offered.
Okay, Velma, why is this important to you?
Because she's come so far and I don't want her to, you know, to sling her back in the other direction. And I don't know the homeopathic doctor. I don't know how much of it that is coming from that end, because there's well-meaning people that were in her life before. And I think they were very well-intentioned, but I just think they sort of exacerbated whatever sort of neuroses that she was suffering from before.
So you think there's a very large psychological component to this?
I think it's a very big piece of it. And she's very...
All right. So what you're describing is a slippery slope, and I'm just going to ask you separately from this call to really think about your motivation, and I'm not saying it's bad. It may be great. But is your motivation truly in the best interest of the client right now? And don't answer that now. It's really just something that requires some thought. Here's why I'm asking you to think about that. Celiac disease is a very real condition, and we have a population that has an overly unrealistic scare concern over gluten, and most of them don't even know what gluten is, but they just heard gluten is bad, so they don't eat gluten, or if they eat bread, they get some kind of indigestion, so they go, I have an issue with gluten. But celiac is a very, very real disease and horribly uncomfortable and horribly debilitating at its worst. So anything like that will induce fear. So there is, again, I said earlier, there's kind of a fine line between what's irrational and what's just annoying. There's a fine line between what is appropriate fear and what is what you're calling neuroses. And I'm sure that it sounds like she's crossed over that line a bit. But understand where it comes from. You know, it's really a scary thing to live with a disease and know that one trigger can really ruin your life.
Yeah.
So if she's at a place right now that she's a Velma fan and you've managed to get her to use Thrive and she's okay with it, using it the way it is, just question, is it worth trying to rattle that cage or do I want to leave well enough alone? Now, on the other side of it, Velma, you might have heard me talk about my perception of the medical field and the empath versus the parasite. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of well-meaning doctors who move into a field like homeopathy who really study homeopathy, which is amazing, interesting, controversial, deep, and really, really hard to fully understand because it's not the same kind of science like this germ, this drug. So homeopathy can be a whole world of experimentation and potential mistakes. So I think your concern may be very real. But what I would definitely not do is inspire her, encourage her in any way to stop seeing the homeopathic physician and start using the Thrive Shake at the same time. If she makes change, you want to make changes one thing at a time, so she can then evaluate them fairly, not overreact. So
okay,
if, for example,
sense.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to talk to her about perhaps re-examining the value of what this homeopathist is doing for her, good. But I wouldn't do it in the same sentence or even the same week that I'm talking to her about using the Thrive Shake. Do you understand?
Okay, well,
I would just...
Well, yeah. I haven't mentioned anything to her about her homeopathic doctor whatsoever. Like, she was the one that brought it up. That
okay.
was her concern. It really was not my concern at all. My concern
okay.
is that it's her concern. That's all I care about.
Right.
And she and her celiac is very, very real. Like, she can't even – if she tries to get something to eat, she can't have, like, the same gloves. If someone's using gloves to serve her, they have to remove the gloves to be able to feed, you know, to fix her food. Because that's
okay.
how affected she is. So, I mean, I do have respect for that. But I don't want to lead her down a path that's going to make her worse. That's where I am with it. But if I could help her,
right.
then
so,
I'd love to be able to help her make it better.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from this right now is she's a fan of Thrive, the way she's using it.
Yeah.
And, maybe you set up a plan. I don't know why I'm saying this, but just as an example, you know, hey, maybe after the holidays we'll try using a little bit of the shake just to see if it works for you. You know, but so at least you're kind of laying that groundwork, but I wouldn't prompt her to make any kind of change that she really fears because
okay.
the psychology may derail the whole thing.
Okay.
If, though, she has the potential to be a promoter, you know, that you might pursue.
Yeah, it's huge. That would be a really good fit for me, for sure.
Good, and I would be more than happy to talk to her, especially if we're going to talk about that. Because I don't
yeah.
want to set up a conversation. I'm going to try to get her to use something that she fears. You know, what
right.
I like is she's using the product and she's happy with it, even in her own modified way. So that
so
sounds like a victory to me.
Do you think I should try and encourage her to take the shake, or should I just keep setting it up for her mentally so that she's willing to be able to not
see,
so much?
I would set it up so that she's prepared for a true test when she doesn't change anything else in her life.
Okay.
But I wouldn't do it in a state where she's very apprehensive. So, I would just kind of, you know, kid gloves and move real slowly with her. But it sounds to me like you did a great job. I mean, obviously, she's on board, and that's great. So let me know if she wants to talk about being a promoter. That would be the best thing.
Okay.
Good. Thank you, Velma.
Sure.
Who else? Anything else? Anything at all?
Hey, Phil, it's Billy.
Billy, hey.
Hey.
What do you got?
Things quick on Velma's situation. It sounds somewhat similar, different disease to what Tammy went through with her Parkinson's lady who was taking a boatload of supplements, as you've heard the story.
Right.
And I don't profess to be a celiac expert or a gluten expert. The only thought popped into my mind is very similar to what you said, you know, baby steps with her on the shake, but she's got to have some confidence in it. And I'd say, what in it is prompting the fear? What ingredient does she think has gluten? I mean, I don't know if the shakes are gluten.
No, it's
not
gluten. It was something. It was like a barley. There's a barley something. And she, you know, she looked at it and I can't remember what it is offhand.
Yeah, Billy, I'm sure she has a lengthy list of all the things
yeah.
that might contain gluten. And anything she sees, she just avoids. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And ultimately, the only way to know for sure, it's like I tell people that have questions, you know, ultimately, you do it, don't do it. I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, but the only way to know for sure is to try it.
Right,
and, you know,
exactly.
There's different ways, like you said, of coaching her through, starting with one tablespoon and just see how it fits. And if it doesn't
yeah, but
fit,
I don't want to be I don't want to be disrespectful of the fact that she's had so many bad experiences because people didn't listen to her in the past. You know, I don't want her to think that I'm not listening to her.
I yeah, no, Velma, I think Billy's advice is very good advice. I think you know this client really well, and the fact that you used the word neurosis means I would just go super slow. And again,
right.
if she were at a place where she wasn't getting a benefit, it would be different, but she's happy with it. So it just sounds to me like a win. It sounds to me like your agenda is to get her to use the whole product, but really what is in her best interest? And it sounds right now like she's better off than she was before she used the product. So that sounds good to me.
Okay.
Good.
Okay,
and the
thank
other
you.
Thing
thank-
I wanted to touch on, go back to what you started the call with, looking, you know, we all kind of want these methodologies, if you will, that work 100% of the time, and I just don't think that exists, and the reason is simple. People are people, and just like you said, there's always going to be 5% assholes in the world. People are always going to have irrational thoughts that we look in the mirror and go, what in the hell are you saying that for?
yeah.
And so we just have to understand that things work in a percentage of success, so you ride with them, but you also have to keep your mind open and knowledgeable on some other, you know, transitions to a different way when people throw you those curves, like Jeff was describing. And just understand that, look, people are going to be people sometimes. And there's nothing you can do about it. And I have two examples. One similar to Jeff's in that it's kind of an odd twist. Real quick, on the cost, guys, I've been selling isogenic systems. 190 is nothing. 190 is a drop in the bucket. Phil, you talked about 250. Isogenic system, the basic one starts at 279, and I don't think I sold one of those to anybody. I always bumped them up because I did the pro shakes. So if you can get people to spend $600 on isogenic system, 190 is much easier. But the other two the two examples are, I had a wife who did try the isogenic system, had trouble cleansing. It was successful.
Wait a minute, Billy. How many wives do you have?
I'm not my wife.
Okay.
I'm glad that came out wrong. Good thing the camera's not around right now. And she, you know, first of all, quick history on her. She had her first child and her only child and not too long ago and developed a lot of hip pain and has been desperately trying, gained a lot of weight, is why she came to us and has really been troubled by the sciatic nerve. She's got some bulging discs, L4 and 5 or something like that, 2 centimeters bulge. But we firmly believe that, and we've talked her out of surgery to this point, and she's seeing a DO. But anyway, she did the isogenic system because I think the inflammation and the dropping of the weight is going to help her a lot. But she could not cleanse very well. She had a hard time with it, so she just kind of got away from that. And so I approached them when Thrive came on board, or I came on board with Thrive, might be a better way to put it. And the ironic twist is I trained both she and her husband. And he jumped right into Thrive and is loving it. Now, he doesn't have any medical issues. He's a pretty healthy guy. He's one of these guys that can stay looking like he's active even though he's not. He only works out one day a week with me. But he has loved Thrive and so much so far that he's already starting his second half of his 8-week experience, and I have a real good feeling it's going to continue because I wear the burn patch, and I said, man, you really got to try this one, because he talked about losing that little bit of belly fat, and he goes, oh, yeah, I've already been looking at that. And so I know he's going to continue, and I gave his wife samples, and she hasn't even touched the samples yet, and she's the one that could benefit the most from it because I know the anti-inflammatories are going to help, and I know once that kicks in, she's going to feel better, and I firmly believe she'll start dropping weight. And I go, Leo, has she tried the samples? He goes, I don't know. No, she hasn't. I don't know why she won't. And I go, well, at this point, you're the best example I can give her of somebody having success with it, so let's just baby step. Because I used to ask her every time, you know, she works out once or twice a week with me, and I say, hey, have you tried the samples yet? No. And I said, is there any reason you're not? I'm just trying to probe and find out, talk to me. What, is there an ingredient that's bugging you? Is there anything? And she says, no. I go, okay. I just profess how much I believe they're going to help her situation. But for whatever reason, she hasn't. I guess to kind of Jeff's scenario, like I said, I enrolled or signed up the husband initially. So I took the one is better than none approach. And I'm just kind of loving her where she's at and trying to drip as much as I can on her and believing that her husband's success with the product will lead to her ultimately jumping in and giving it a try. So I'm really hopeful in that. The other scenario is the sample scenario. And, again, I totally agree with what you're saying, Phil. There's no perfect way to do it. There's success in both ways. I think what you bring up is a huge point on mindset. In other words, what is your belief going into this scenario? Because I've been walking around here both with prior with isogenics and everything else, always being overly empathetic to all the excuses going, well, yeah, that is valid. Well, yeah, that is valid. And if you walk in with that mindset that you're going to be acceptant of those, then you're almost dead in the water, or it's going to be very hard. But if you walk in with what Phil is saying is that confident mindset of, you know, I firmly believe this person is just going to buy right away. It doesn't always mean they're going to, but at least you're coming in with that scenario, and then you can fall back on the samples. But in this particular instance, the massage therapist at the studio we work out kind of came up to us And Tammy and I said, hey, she had a client, a fireman, that was about to get a massage and was talking about Thrive. You need to try it. And she actually said, hey, these guys can get you some samples. So she kind of threw it out there right away. And I said, okay, well, we're not going to be able to sell him instantly. And I got him samples right then and there. He was one of these guys that I got him, or I got verbal confirmation he was going to start the next day, but it ended up going through the weekend to the next Monday. But he did do them, and he does like it. And he said he verbally said he definitely knows that he'll get more out of doing it for 8 weeks. But his excuse right now is money, and he just started a workout program that I guess is eating up his additional funds, so he wants to wait until that is done. And I said, okay, that's fine. But then I said, and I actually hung up the phone at that time, and I said, I'll follow up with you as that 8 weeks comes to an end. And I said, that wasn't the best way to do that. So this is where that free customer account came in as a positive. And I simply texted him back and I said, I forgot to mention this, Marcus, but why don't you go ahead and give me your email and I can get you your free customer account set up so you can take a look around. And that's how I set that up. And then I think, like you said, the importance to utilizing that successfully is follow up, set a date to follow up with them. And so this, I think, is going to work out very well. And I dropped a little seed and when I texted him his login information, that, you know, if the means become available before this workout plan is up, I think you'll find that these products with the energy and the anti-inflammatories and the recovery, et cetera, will actually make your workouts improve. And so I planted that seed in hopes that, you know, he'll go along and say, you know, what am I waiting for? And I told him I've got some credits for him. It's only going to be $170. So we'll see. I'm in a little holding pattern now because I just got him signed up Wednesday, I think it was. And so I'm going to give him a little bit of time and let, you know, things fall in. He's got the free account, but I've got my calendar to follow up.
Okay. Billy, thank you. Hey, I'm looking at the time. I have a 2 o'clock appointment, so I got to run. So I appreciate your input. Thank you for everybody. I am reachable. You can text me. We can set up a time to talk. What I would like to do between now and our next, between now and next Wednesday is I would like to have three-way conversations with every promoter, myself, Jenny, and you. And the idea is to understand where you're at together, to understand what challenges, frustrations you have, and to figure out a next step and to do it in a way that is clear and a way that feels good to you. So I'll be reaching out to all of you, but don't wait for me. In the meantime, if you have an issue, a challenge, or anything at all that you want to discuss, please contact me. Until we speak again, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk on Monday. Be better. Bye-bye.
Thanks.